I raised the camera and looked through its lens. Every time I took a picture, I heard a noise not unlike the one a digital watch makes, like a beep beep. I heard it many times. I never knew where that sound came from, if from the object or some other place. The object then tilted and I was able to see the upper part, which was identical to the bottom. They both had the same dome and a star-like design that went from the center to the edges. After it tilted, it shot up and was lost from view. As it took off, I saw a flash of light. I don't know if it was produced by this flying saucer or by the reflection on its dome. The planes then left in opposite direction. I thought they'd go after it, but they didn't. All this happened in a matter of seconds, probably less time than it took you to read this part. Everything was now quiet and looked as if I was dreaming. Like a zombie, I went back to my car. I started up the motor and headed in the direction it was pointing. I had no idea where I was. I was driving on an open field, slowly, and immersed in my thoughts. When I woke up in my car and was crying, I had no recollection of what had transpired that morning, but when I saw the planes and the other silent object, I remembered the encounter. However, I could only remember when one of the little men opened my car door and the fear I felt. What took place after that was as if it never happened. First a moment filled with terror caused by those beings, and then it's daytime and I'm in my car somewhere else. I stopped thinking about all this and just hurried home. Finally, I came upon a woman watering her garden. Still dazed, I asked her the way to Garba Rojo, thinking that if I could get there I could figure out my way home. She told me that we were in one of its neighborhood called Las Palmas, and she then told me how to get to the 301 road that would get me into town. I'd never felt so lost in my life. Following her instructions, I got to the 301 road. When I got there, I turned and headed to the beach El Combate. I stopped and asked again. They told me that Garba Rojo was in the opposite direction, so I turned and headed that way. I drove still not knowing where I was going, just hoping I could get home and get some sleep. When I got to a certain intersection, I recognized it. It was the end of the 301 road. Here started road 103, which I knew would lead to Mama's house. I knew this sector well because when I got here from New York, I went through it many times to get to the Boca and Beach, and it was also the route I took to get to my other job. I had also eaten many times in the restaurant that was in this intersection. From there I got home safe and sound. I parked my car and went inside with the camera in my hand. Mama was already up. She was worried and asked why I'd gotten home so late. She later told me I didn't answer her and I went straight to my bedroom. I placed the camera on the night table and took off my clothes. When I took off my trousers, I realized I had peed on myself. I didn't think much of it, I just wanted to sleep. I closed all the windows and went to sleep naked. I had nothing in particular in mind when I started to fall asleep, no bad thoughts or anything that might interrupt my sleep. By the time I got to my bedroom from where I'd taken the pictures, I had forgotten everything. I slept deeply and didn't get up for the rest of the day. I didn't leave my room neither to go to the bathroom nor to eat. My grandmother later told me she tried to wake me up but couldn't. I got up at around 9:30 or 10 p.m. to use the bathroom and to eat a sandwich. I then slept till the next day. When I woke up, it was as if nothing had happened, like I just returned from work like any other normal day. The human mind is incredible, sometimes it knows when to forget. If not for this ability, one could go mad. My memories had been blocked. Still, I was tense and wanted to cry but didn't know why. That day I went to my waiting job as usual. The next day, or a few days after, I don't really remember, I gave my cousin back her camera with the film still inside. I told her what had happened with her record. The next couple of days I went to work as if nothing extraordinary had happened. Not too long after, my cousin called me over the phone. She sounded a little upset and told me about the pictures of El Gran Combo and of some other pictures. She didn't explain a whole lot and she asked to come over there. I hung up and my only thought was that maybe the pictures didn't come out right. Many times had I taken pictures before and cut people's heads off. I went to her house refusing to hear any criticism on my abilities as a photographer. She lived nearby. When I got there, her husband and her kids were with her and they all looked frightened. "What is this?" I asked myself. She showed me the pictures. "This is El Gran Combo," I told her. "Keep going," Shiva said. "El Gran Combo, El Gran Combo," and it was as if someone had thrown me a bucket of cold water. My mind couldn't resist anymore. I started to shake and my cousin and her family got worried. "Who's that man dressed in black? What are those things?" I couldn't answer her. I couldn't even speak. I ran out of there, got in my car, and headed home. I remember then calling me, but I didn't pay any attention. When I got home, I ran to the bedroom. Mama got terrified seeing me in such a hurry and so upset. I locked myself in my room and lay on my bed in fetal position with the pictures in my hands. I stayed like that for a long time. Mama would knock on my door, but I didn't answer. I hear the phone ring. Mama was talking to my cousin, who wanted to know if I'd gotten home all right. After she hung up, she went to my bedroom determined to find out what was going on. I didn't answer her, I couldn't. I still trembled uncontrollably. Some nerve below my right eye started to move on its own. I heard my grandmother call my aunt, who lives below our house. She called and I could hear the panic in her voice. Her daughter, my aunt, came up to see what was going on. Mama then told her what my cousin had said. Now both of them were knocking on my door and telling me to please come out. I just wanted to be left alone. I did not want to speak, I couldn't. I wanted to be alone with my horrendous thoughts. Laying there as I was with my pictures in my hands and my eyes shut, I went over what had transpired that night. I saw it in my mind's eye like a movie. However, I could only remember that I left work and that I ran into those little beings and then fainting. From then on up until I woke up in my car in that other place, I couldn't remember a thing. Hard as I tried, I couldn't recall what happened during that period of time. Danny, one of my younger cousins, joined the voices outside my door. I could hear they were worried and I also heard someone trying to open the door. Danny, armed with a piece of wire, managed to open the door. When they opened the door, I immediately sat up. He started to peek through the door, but when he saw the possessed look on my face, as he later told me, he got scared. I screamed at him to close the door, which he immediately did. I went back to my original position, but I could hear them whispering. It wasn't the right time to talk to them. If I managed to not go mad, I'd explain later. At the moment, I only wanted to think about what happened on the night of the encounter. Above all, I struggled to try and remember what had happened between when I fainted and when I took the pictures. It was like trying to remember someone's name, but you can't. Terrible as it was, the limited memory I had of what transpired, what was worst was not being able to remember it completely. I heard my cousin's voice outside, the owner of the camera. While I was lost in my thoughts, she had also joined the group. Apparently, she was explaining to them what she knew. They talked amongst themselves, asked questions, and at times were silent. All of a sudden, my grandmother started to cry. That's when my aunt went to my door and begged me to come out and explain what was going on. She told me Mama was very upset, and to please remember that her health was very delicate right now. I got up with the intention of going out to the living room and tell Mama that everything was all right, but instead I locked the door and went back to bed. They kept talking and I think they were also trying to calm down my grandmother. I seemed as if more of my family had arrived. I felt as if I had lost touch with reality. I looked around me and everything seemed strange. My bed and all my belongings now felt like things from the past. It was all like a dream. My reality had fused with something I never thought could be possible. I closed my windows again and it got dark again despite the daylight outside. I took my shoes and clothes off and decided it was probably a good idea to go to sleep before my brain exploded. Later I found out that during the day Mama's house was packed. Everyone had their own version of what had happened. They all desperately wanted to see the pictures. My cousin described to them what she and her family had seen, but none were satisfied. Mama had settled down and everyone stayed pretty much till the evening. They cooked, ate, and drank coffee. The topic of conversation didn't change. At times they looked at my door, intrigued. I later also found out that some placed their heads to the door to try and hear anything. Of course, they heard nothing. When they were all too tired and sleepy, they left but agreed to come back the next day in the afternoon. That morning I had my first nightmare. I was walking down a road similar to La Bajura. It was nighttime and I was in my waiter uniform, white shirt, black pants, and black shoes. The moonlight illuminated the misty road. There were trees alongside it. The wide road seemed to go on without end. I wasn't scared, despite my circumstances. I then felt someone walking behind me and I quickly turned. There was no one. When I turned back to keep walking, I noticed feet. Standing right there was the little one. He had his hand raised as if to touch me. Before he could do it, I started to run in the opposite direction. I looked over my shoulder and saw that the little man with a big deformed head was following me. At times he caught up with me and pulled me by my shirt. When I felt him, I ran faster and was able to free myself. During this nightmare, I ran and screamed through the fog like my life was in danger. The little man again grabbed me and I again escaped. I woke up from this screaming. I yelled that he was going to get me. This was the first of a many torment-filled nights. Mama knocked on the door scared and asked me what was happening. I got up covered in sweat, turned on the light and opened the door. Mama was in her nightgown and I noticed she looked extremely worried. When I saw her, I rushed to her arms like a child and started to cry. She helped me get in my bed and asked me what was happening, but I couldn't tell her. I only said I had a nightmare. I calmed down and then she asked me if the nightmare had something to do with the pictures. I nodded. Meanwhile, someone knocked on the front door and Mama went to see who it was. It was my aunt and one of her sons, the ones who lived downstairs. They talked with Mama for a while and then entered my room. "Are you all right?" they asked. I told them I was and that I only wanted to go back to sleep. I also apologized to them for waking them up in the middle of the night. My cousin Danny looked at me scared, he was pale. Mama and my aunt gave me a kiss and Danny said good night. They left my room and I fell asleep listening to them whisper behind my door. I didn't have any other nightmare that night that I remembered, but these turned into something so consecutive that it nearly destroyed my family. Chapter 7. When I woke up, my mom had already made coffee. I could smell it from my bed. First I thought of the coffee and then of my nightmare, the one I lived and the one I had the previous night. All of a sudden I had a glimmer of hope. I thought to myself that maybe everything, including my cousin's phone call, had all been a nightmare produced by my subconscious. There was no phone call and no pictures. I got up and felt a little happy. I didn't see the pictures anywhere around. I lifted up my mattress though and there they were. In an instant I got depressed. I left the pictures there and went to the bathroom. As I drank my cup of coffee, Mama bombarded me with thousands of questions. She asked me if I wanted to talk to her about what had happened the day before. I didn't answer, so she kept asking questions. "Son, what are those pictures your cousin is talking about?" Without answering her, I put my coffee on the table and went to get the pictures. When I showed them to her, she was mute and had to sit down. "What is this? Where were these taken? When?" she asked. I looked at her straight in the eyes and told her it was the night in which Mother's Day was celebrated at Casablanca. "Who is this man dressed in black?" I told her I didn't know. "And what about the big-headed doll?" I told her that I didn't think it was a doll. I felt sad for my grandmother. In her face I saw a lot of confusion and denial of what she was seeing in the pictures. She told me that the plane in the picture was very much like the one seen in the area that seemed they're going to tear the roof when they fly by. "And what is that other thing with the plane?" I told her I didn't know, but that it looked like those flying saucers that some people talk about. While Mama was looking at the pictures, my aunt slowly came up the stairs. "Come and take a look at this," my grandmother said. When she was handed the pictures, she too had to sit down. I kept drinking my coffee and it was Mama who answered her questions. Was cousin was next to come up and when they showed him the pictures his jaw dropped. Nervously he looked at Mama and my aunt but he wouldn't look at me or ask me any questions. I went into the living room and Mama and my aunt came with me. Danny stayed in the kitchen and placed the pictures face down on the table. They both insisted I tell them everything that happened. After I told them what I remembered, we all became silent. None of us spoke for a while. They didn't know what to say to me. Danny broke the silence by asking me what had happened between when I lost consciousness in Labajura and when I woke in that other place where I took the pictures. I told them that as incredible as it might seem, I couldn't remember. My mind was blank. I told them that no matter how hard I tried, I could not remember. Not knowing what happened to you in a time lapse of at least 2.5 hours is frustrating and enough to start doubting yourself. My aunt asked what I planned to do. I don't know, I said. I looked at them as if I was in a dream. I felt everything around me was not real. I was dazed and very confused. They wanted answers, but I didn't have them. I myself wanted answers. The thought of going back to sleep, of escaping, came back to me. I asked to be excused, took the pictures, and went back to my room. Mama asked me if I was going to work that day and I said no. I asked her to call work and tell them I wasn't feeling well. I looked at the pictures for a long time as I lay on my bed. I cried in silence. I separated the pictures from the ones from the damn combo so that I could give those back to my cousin. I put the others ones below my mattress. Everyone was behind my door, lost in their own thoughts. Meanwhile, I rolled up in a sheet of inexistence that accompanied me. That afternoon I woke up hungry. The first thing on my mind, however, was not food but the pictures and my experience of that morning. It is still the first thing I think of when I wake up. I heard voices, so I got close to the door to try and make them out. It was my family who'd gotten together in the kitchen and living room. I had to go to the bathroom really bad, but I didn't want to face them. I wasn't in the mood to answer all their questions. I waited as much as I could. They were all talking, and when I opened the door, they stopped and looked at me. They looked at me like I was from another world. I lowered my head and without saying a word, I went to the bathroom. I didn't hear them talk while I was there, but when I got out they all looked at me again in a very strange manner. "Mama, I'm hungry," was the first thing I said. After breaking the ice they all asked me how I was feeling. I told them I was all right but still a little confused. Mama and some of my aunts warmed up some food and my cousins accompanied me to the living room. The strange thing was that they were treating me like I was handicapped, as if I couldn't walk, and held me by my arms. Truth be told, I was feeling pretty disoriented and a little dizzy, but maybe it was just that I was hungry. I noticed they were all anxious. They wanted to hear about what had happened. One of my cousins started the interrogation in a very inappropriate manner and the others followed. They asked me everything and then some. The one who started said he wanted to see the pictures. I told him where to find them and I asked him to bring the ones of El Gran Combo so that I could give them to my cousin. When he came back, everyone gathered around him. They passed the pictures down and before my eyes they all got a little older. For a lot of them, what they had previously thought about things in life had now changed. For my younger cousins this was something cool, and hip, awesome. My relatives' little kids asked me if I'd seen E.T. in his ship. Their parents told them to be quiet. The older were lost in their thoughts. Mama brought my food out and told them to leave me alone. When I got up to go eat, they all offered me help in getting me to the kitchen. I thanked them but told them I could make it on my own. I didn't like being treated that way, like I was sick or something. I was still thankful that they wanted to help though. I couldn't eat in peace, however. They shot at me with questions, one after the other. Even my grandmother, who had asked them to leave me alone, had now joined them. I told them to knock themselves out because after they were done and satisfied and I wasn't going to repeat anything. My uncles, aunts, cousins and grandmother came up with their own theories. They then started to argue amongst each other. Each of them thought that their theory of what had happened to me was the best. I saw them and heard them, but it was as if I wasn't there. My mind was wandering in its own theories and conclusions, all the while trying to recall those lost memories for which I had no explanation. That night I received a phone call from my father, who lived on the east side of Puerto Rico. More family had gathered home, so by the time he called, the house was again packed. They all went silent to try and hear the conversation, or at least my part of it. They'd already called him, so he was already quite up to speed. He told that he thought it was all work of the devil. My father is part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I grew up among them, so maybe that's why what my father was telling made sense. He said that Satan had the power to create UFOs and their crews and everything else having to do with the phenomenon. He added that Lucifer was capable of anything to confuse humanity, and that those creatures were demons and the craft was their creation. He told me that they were capable of taking any physical form they wished. This I didn't refute, for I knew well, according to what I'd learned when I was a child, that this could be possible. My father advised me to forget about the matter, put away the pictures, and to spend more time reading the Bible instead of wasting my time with the issue. I was thinking that maybe he was right, but the time I hung up, my doubts had started to surface again. My family asked what he'd told me. After I told them, they said they didn't agree. Now I didn't know what to think. What in all truth had really happened? I was only partially conscious of what had happened to me. At last my family went away, leaving me alone with Mama. We started getting ready to go to bed, so we closed the house and I gave Mama a kiss goodnight. I locked myself in my room where the windows were still closed. I grabbed a Bible and started to read on the first page I opened it to. I read for a while, on my bed, until sleep overcame me. Before I turned off the light, I looked at the pictures one more time. I finally turned off the light and went to sleep in an instant. I'm walking down a road much like Labajura dressed in my uniform. It's night and he almost grabs me. He pulls me by the shirt. I run and run, screaming. I wake up screaming but haven't realized it's just a nightmare. The knocks on my door brought me back. I hear Mama calling and I opened it. What's wrong? I tell her about the nightmare. My aunt and her son knocked on the front door and grandmother let them in. Again? I heard my aunt asked Mama. They came to my room and tried to calm me down. I described to them my nightmare and they stayed with me for a while. They told me to try and think of something else, that remembering that would just do me harm. It was easy for them to say but very difficult for me to do. I could not think of anything else. This was a recurrent nightmare for a long time. Though I had others, this was the predominant one. Not knowing why, I dreamt of destruction, earthquakes, and all kinds of disasters. In another one of these nightmares, I saw a house floating on the sea like a houseboat and going up and down the big waves until it disappeared. I always woke up from these nightmares, and therefore I would wake up everyone in the house and sometimes some of the neighbors. Though I was always met with compassion and understanding, I knows they were starting to lose their patience. I still worked in Casablanca on Fridays and Saturdays. Some of my cousins took me to work and then picked me up. According to them, they did it for me, as a favor. In my opinion, and please excuse my honesty, they did it to be there in case something happened again. I'll never understand why someone would want to go through something like that. In time, since nothing ever happened, they got tired of coming and going. I had a little problem at work, and though it was something minor, I used it as an excuse to not work there anymore. It didn't matter, I had another job as a janitor that I'd gotten through a friend of my cousin's. I had started this other job not long after I started to work at the nightclub. By this time I almost never left the house at night. When and if I did, it was with my car full of people. Through my friends and family, word got around in town of my experience with those beings. The nightmares continued and people in the neighborhood were saying that at home everyone was possessed by the devil. At night I started to pretend I was asleep just so my family and my neighbors could rest. I would stay awake the entire night. I walked the house like a ghost and made sure all the windows were closed. Sometimes I would read the Bible and other times and would just sit and think. I still tried in vain to remember what had happened to me. I went to work with bags under my eyes and was sleepy all the time. I slept in the afternoon when I got home. Sometimes I would have nightmares and I'd screamed, but because it wasn't late still, the everyday sounds and noises camouflaged me most of the time. I was basically a prisoner of my room, my family, and I kept tabs on the news to see if there was any mention of extraterrestrial ships being chased by military planes. We also kept checking the newspapers but found nothing. Meanwhile, I was living a kind of lie. I gave the impression of leading a normal life, or what I considered normal, yet inside I was anguished and frustrated. There were days when I could almost recall what happened during that lost time. This actually happened when I tried the least. All this made me start thinking that I was losing my mind. Many family members suggested I see a psychiatrist and others that I go to a spiritualist center. Going to a psychiatrist seemed absurd to me, probably as absurd as it would seem to him the reasons why I'd seek him. I didn't even consider the spiritualist center. I didn't want any more encounters with the unknown. The days went by with me living in my own private world, scared and confused, and the rest of the world oblivious of my emotional conflict. This time of my life was devastating. I even contemplated suicide. I couldn't take it anymore. One on hand I wanted to forget everything, and on the other I wanted to remember. I wanted answers, and the same time didn't want to know anything. I was crazy. I felt alone, different, and isolated. I thought my life would never be the same. All this I shared with my brother Charlie through letters. My brother, who's a United States Marine, at the time was stationed in Japan with his wife Mercedes Vicky. He gave me very good advice. It's a shame I didn't follow it. Charlie told me I should be very careful with those pictures. He knew from his circle of military friends that there had been cases where the government took people with solid evidence about the existence of extraterrestrial beings and made them disappear from the map. Not only the evidence, but the people as well. Chapter 8. The nightmares became an everyday thing for me, but I never got used to them. Every time was like the first. I had put away the pictures and their negatives in an envelope along with some enlargements that were left over from the ones I sent my brother Charlie and my father. I didn't look at them now as often, but it was still the first thing I thought about every day when I woke up. The issues with the UFO pictures started to fade away. At home, little by little we stopped talking about it. It was as if we'd all agreed on it. One day I just stopped opening the drawer where I kept the pictures and their negatives. My family had started to forget about the whole thing and I did the same. I gave up trying to remember what had happened during the lost time. It was easier and more convenient not to. In time the nightmares were less until they went away altogether. One day at work, in my job as a janitor in an elementary school, I remembered an old idea I had. Back in New York, I used to eat every day at a hot dog stand on my way to work. While contemplating coming to Puerto Rico, I remember my aunt telling me about the poor job situation and me thinking that I could set up one of those hot dog stands. But, since I got those two jobs just days after arriving in Puerto Rico, I forgot about it. Now the idea was strongly back in my mind. I bought a food cart with an umbrella and all the necessary items. I complied with all the requirements from the Department of Commerce and provided all the necessary paperwork and documents. After that, everything was pretty easy and immediately started to sell my hot dogs. I had thought that the place I chose to set it up was out of pure coincidence. However, it turns out that I had picked three other ideal places to set up shop. Out of those three I had chosen, to my knowledge, the best one. When I first headed out to start my business, there were hot dog carts on all three places I'd picked. I didn't know how that was possible since I had driven by those places many times before and had never seen a single cart. That day my cousin and his wife were with me. They moved my cart here and there with their car, looking for an appropriate spot. I couldn't believe the places I'd picked were now occupied. Out of frustration, I wanted to go home and forget about it for a while. My cousins suggested we go to the beach El Combate. Though I was disillusioned, I agreed. Maybe with a little luck I would be able to find a spot alongside the other vendors. This beach in particular is full of vendors who sell all kinds of foods. On our way over there, I stopped at the road 301. They stopped behind me and asked me why I'd stopped. I went over to them and told them I wanted to just forget everything.